We love you. I know this song, but you better get used to it. This is a song we're going to sing when we get to heaven. This song is out of the book of Revelations. So this is not just a song that someone made up. This is a song the Bible says that the redeemed are going to sing to our God. So many of you stood there, and the moment they started singing it, you could actually feel the presence of God just go right through the congregation. And that is because you're singing the word this morning. So I don't know, maybe you're not one who likes to sing. I don't care if you like to sing this morning. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He deserves your worship, amen? Amen? And so we're going to sing this song in heaven. Let's get used to it right now. I want to sing that all over from the very beginning. And when we get to that, I want you to shout it out loud to your Messiah, louder than you've ever shouted before. I want you to sing like you've never sung before. Abandon yourself like you've never abandoned before. Because I don't want to get to heaven and say, Lord Jesus, I just worshiped you a little down here. But tonight I'm going to, no. Jesus, I'm abandoning all that I am with the song that you gave me to prepare with. We're getting ready to prepare a song for the King. Can I hear an amen? Come on, let's worship him.
Sing a new song.
You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. Jesus, there is none like you. You are holy. Oh, Jesus, we love you so much. Lord, bless your people this morning. Bless your people this morning as we sing about your holiness. God, we so desperately desire you. We want to be near you, like you. Jesus, you called us to be holy as you are holy. Lord, we know that as we lift you up, you'll draw all men to yourself. So, Father, thank you for the anointing that's in this room right now. Lord, I declare people being healed right now in Jesus' name. I declare, God, people that have, Lord, their minds are not clear. I command right now their mind to come into order in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of fear right now in this room in Jesus' name. God, we speak right now, Father. Lord, those that have lost hope, that God, you will speak hope to them right now. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Father, I thank you that today you're doing a supernatural work, not just us coming into a building and singing a few songs. But Father, without you, we've come to church in vain. We so longingly desire you. Jesus, today, we make a choice that we position ourselves to receive from you, because we need you. We need Jesus. Oh, I got to say that again. We need Jesus. Why don't you turn to someone next to you and say, I need Jesus. Come on, tell somebody else, I need Jesus. Praise the Lord. On the way back to your chair this morning, make sure that you welcome three or four folks. Please don't go sit down. Please make sure that you welcome a few folks and say, I need Jesus.
It's time to sign up for the next Women's Encounter. October 27th through 29th is the weekend you don't want to miss. The total cost is $325. It includes everything. We only have 9 spots left, so get your $100 deposit to me as soon as possible, no later than August 15th. For more information and details, see me or email me at Carla@histabernacle.com. Pastor Jane, did you know that God danced the day you were born?
I did, but you know what? I think he danced more the day Pastor Rhonda was born. Hey, HT, we have a very special announcement for you today.
Pastor Rhonda's birthday is coming up.
Make sure to come prepared with your birthday blessings for Pastor Rhonda.
And plan on staying after service for cake.
Make sure to come prepared with your birthday blessings for the mother of the house.
And plan on staying after service for cake and a birthday party.
Be there.
the God that I serve is the only true and living God, and his name is Jehovah.
He left heaven, came to this earth just to die for me and just to die for you.
We need a revival of the Bible and people that are going to follow the truth of Jesus without shame.
What you thought that you would never flow in to an extent, the power is coming into your ministry.
When you begin to lay hands on the sick, they've got to recover, because there's the DNA of miracle power in your body. Hallelujah. For your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Years ago was the last time something happened near that park. We're going to be infiltrating Grove Park with Rock the City. It is going to be a phenomenal outreach to our community. We're going to be giving away a car. We're going to be giving away television. But the greatest thing that we're going to give is Jesus. Amen. The last time Billy Sunday was here was September 13th, 1924. That's the day we're starting the revival in Grove Park. September 13th. What is amazing is about that is that Billy Sunday, the very first day he spoke, had 20,000 souls. The last night he spoke in Elmira, he had 40,000 people in attendance. And in 6 weeks, over 400,000 people came to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was talking to the mayor just the other night, and he said, Pastor, we in Elmira are excited about what you're doing. And he's excited. He said, I need to know the details of Rock the City. He said, because I want to be there. You see, I want you to recognize how powerful you are. Yesterday, we were at EOP's Jazz Festival, and there was some thunder and lightning going on, and we arrived at 3:30, pulled into our parking spot. There was one parking spot remaining in the entire parking area. And I pulled in, and we had Sophia with us. And I looked over, and a man's window was down. I waved at him. Got to be friendly if you want friends. Waved at him, and he waved back. And I rolled the window down, and I said, Boy, looks like we're going to get some thunder and lightning. And he said, Yes, it does, Reverend. I rolled the window back up. It's always a bad feeling at first. And he looked at me and he waved at Sophia and then he went like this. So I rolled the window back down and he said, My life is not right with Jesus, Pastor, and I need to know how to get right with God. Right there in the parking lot, the only parking spot left. He wasn't even coming for the jazz festival. And right there, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he said, Pastor, I'll be in church tomorrow at 11 a.m. You see, God knows he has a hunger and a passion. The harvest is already ready. And when we go to Elmira for Rock the City, baby, you hang on, because people are waiting for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen?
You know, Rock the City, we could do this by ourselves. We don't have to spend the money, and we could do this with the gifts that God has in the house here, but God has brought us to the place. The vision from Pastor is to bring in from the outside the voices that are going across this nation, leading souls to Jesus. The salvation count for the Shuttlesworth evangelist is staggering. So what our heart is in this Rock the City is for salvations to come. Salvations. This money, it is worth every dime for the salvations that will come by bringing these outside ministries into our city, just like Billy Sunday came in from outside into our city, and thousands were saved. Thousands were saved. So we are in this for the souls. We have already developed a discipleship team because we not only want to see them get saved on that day and then wash our hands and walk away. No, we have a team that is prepared to disciple these young men and women and older men and women that get saved in that Rock the City. We are going to continue and disciple them and make them solid in the kingdom of God. So that is worth every single investment and every single dime. I would encourage every single one to make sure you're sowing into Rock the City. Make sure you prepare a seed for Rock the City, because this is going to be about souls. I mean, 20,000 souls in the first night. What will you believe for? I know some of you immediately, your mind said, oh, well, that won't happen this time. Come on. I'm expecting 20,000 souls to be saved. Why not in our city? Why not again? It's called revival. It's called revival, and I want to be a part of revival in our city.
Hallelujah. For the next 2 weeks, not this Sunday, but starting the week after, we're going to start receiving offerings, sowing for the Rock the City. And I want to tell you, we never ask anybody to sow without sowing first. We've already had one business already sow $15,000. Come on now, somebody say amen. My wife and I, we don't have $15,000. But what we're going to sow is the paint job on my motorcycle. Jesus. You know it's sacrifice. Hallelujah. We're going to sow $1,000, and why do I tell you what we're going to sow? Because I don't want you to think that the preachers are up here just telling everybody to give, and they don't give anything. And so my wife and I are giving the very first $1,000. We're going to give it this week. And why are we doing that? Because I believe that Jesus wants people saved. Just like the man who sat next to me yesterday, I looked at Pastor Andre and I said, one soul for EOP, glory to God. It was worth the whole jazz festival. Somebody got saved. I'm excited for what the Lord is. So what we ask you to do is simply this. You just give as the Holy Spirit directs you. Some of you, I want you to give sacrificially. Can I hear an amen? What's a soul worth to you? Now, we never manipulate or make people do anything. In fact, my wife and I don't know anything that happens with the money except for basic numbers. That's all we know. But what I know is this, is that in this house is more than enough. So that we don't ever even have to say, Lord, we need another offering. We're not taking one offering at these meetings. Not one. Why? Because I don't want a sinner to have to pay for them to come to hear the word. Amen? This is where the saints step in and do their thing. So if everybody in this room just simply obeys God, it's going to be great. We're going to start next week receiving offerings for that. And I'm believing that within 1 week, I believe we only need to take one offering. Amen? If everyone in this room just simply obeys God, we just need one offering. Amen? I said amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. If you're a guest in the house, you're saying, oh my goodness, they're asking for money already. Listen, that's not for you. That's for the family. Turn to someone and say, that's for the family. But if you want a soul, you'd be wise. For he who wins souls is wise. Amen? So we want to welcome all of our guests in the house. Thank you so much for being here. We know at times it's a challenge to come to a new place, but we want to champion you this morning. Can I hear everybody say, thank you so much for being here? If you're our guest, if you'll raise your hand, we're not going to embarrass you or anything, but if you're our guest, we have a gift for you, young lady. We have a gift for everybody who's a guest in the room. Is anybody else a guest in the room this morning? First-time guest? We have guests over in the... No, there you go. Where? Oh, right over here, young lady, right there. Oh, sir. Very good. Anybody else? Your first-time guests. Susan? Where's Susan? Susan, right over here, hon. Right in the front. Right in the second row. Very good. Anybody else? First-time guests. Let's give all of our guests a hand clap this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We always encourage all of our guests to be here at least 3 times. Everybody shout three. Three times. Come 3 times before you make a decision whether this is the house you want to participate with or not. I believe that vision is everything. You don't marry the pastor. You marry the vision. Amen? And the vision of this house is strong. We also want to welcome all of our online guests. We have a lot of family members. As you can look around, the church has some empty gaps because many of our family are out on vacation. We have 2 of our pastor staff already on vacation this week. So can we give a shout to our online campus? Last week, over 100 computers. If everybody watching online can do me a favor, can you go to your computer And you can log on and you can communicate. There's somebody right now working working the online campus. If you can communicate how many of you are watching the telecast or the live stream right now by your computer, we'd like to get some kind of number of how many are watching every single week. Thank you for the computers, but now we'd just love to, we don't have to know your names, just say 2, 3, 10, 15. We have folks that literally watch from campgrounds. They gather everybody from their campground around, and they all watch the telecast, they watch live stream together. Isn't it exciting? Amen? Let's welcome Pastor Rhonda as she receives the offering this morning.
Amen. It is so awesome to be. These are those that have turned the world upside down. I love being a part of this generous church. I love being a part of a church that is going into the city and going to the highways and the byways and reaching the lost for Jesus. It is an awesome privilege to be a part of an Acts 2 church. And in Acts 2 it says, these are those that have turned the world upside down. So I know I'm preaching to the choir today. I just want to tell you, you're brilliant. You are brilliant for being in the house of God where the power of God can touch and change your life. But you're also brilliant for tithing in the house of God because you are turning the world upside down. And God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. Amen. Are you ready to give in the house today? Let's stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration. This is simply a promise from the Word of God, and it is found in Deuteronomy 28. If you'll repeat it, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Was slain, he's alive. Forever he shall reign, he's alive. They crucified at Calvary, but he rose in victory.
Hallelujah. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? Can you leave that slide up for just a second? How many of you have seen that we can give by text? That's a really cool way to give. That's online giving. You can go right online and give. But also there's an online texting. And some people just, we watch people, you know, this is a great way to give. And I like giving this way. We have a good group that do. So if you are interested, it's always up there. Just jump right on and be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Today I want to continue the message that's dealing with the power of words. Many of us don't recognize that every word is a seed. And you are participating with a harvest of the words from your mouth. We need to recognize that God has given us authority in the name of Jesus. That God has given us authority on this earth. And that words are powerful. In fact, this morning, your words will carry you or crush you. Let me say that again. Your words and other people's words will either carry you or crush you. And every one of us have the ability to allow or disallow what people speak into our lives. Words come from three different dimensions. They come from your flesh, they come from the devil, and they come from other people. And no matter which way they come, we need to know, grasp a hold of, and really get a hold of the truth that says we have the right to allow or disallow whatever words are coming into our ear so that we can learn to agree with the Word of God. I want to remind you, we talked about the firsts. God's first words were creation and blessing. Adam's first words were blessing. We know that Satan's first words were questioning the word of God. And then Eve, the problem with Eve was that Eve actually created a dialogue with doubt with the devil. The moment our words are allowed to cancel out the word of God, we then place ourselves of obtaining a harvest that is not going to be beautiful, but will be corrupt. Now, I don't know about you. I want to be blessed and not cursed. I want everything to work with God on my side. That means we've got to agree with God. Turn to someone and say, you got to agree with God. Tell somebody else, you got to agree with God. The words of your mouth, either agreeing or disagreeing with God, will produce a harvest in your life. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 2, that if we can control our tongues, that we are a mature person. Our verse for the year is Psalms 1, verse 3, and it declares this: He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37 say this: But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The power of the words that come out of our mouth. This week, I paid special close attention, and some of you might have seen it on the old Facebook thing, where I'll see somebody make a death statement, and I'll post, "Watch your words." It's amazing to see how many of us hear the word of God, but do not apply the word of God. We hear the message, we walk out, we go, that's a good message. But yet we do not take the principles, not of Spencer, but of God's word. God's word is above all things. He holds his word even above his name. The word of God, not one jot or tittle, shall pass away before it's all come to completion. There's a need for us to take beyond just the sermon, just the sanctuary, and start applying it to our life. The words that we speak, according to Proverbs chapter 18, are either life or death, and I love this last portion, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That simply means this, that the words that you speak, you will eat its fruit. So if we don't want death in our fruit, has anybody ever grabbed a hold of an apple or some type of fruit and you bit into it and it was rotten in the middle? And you went nasty and you spit it out. This is what God wants to make sure, that the trees of our harvest are going to have fruit that is crisp, that is solid, that is sweet, that is nutritious, that those who call upon the name of the Lord, and listen, I love this verse. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How can you taste? You take a bite of the fruit. Who's the fruit? You and I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The very taste of our lives should put a desire in the palate of people to want Jesus. We've got to check our fruit. And whether we like it or not, it's not. We got to be real people. Is that right? How many of you work? Well, that's a good sign. How many of you work with sinners? How many of you realize that they don't usually talk the same way you do, or they shouldn't, or you shouldn't talk the same way they do? One guy said to me, well, I've got to cuss at my job. It's a prerequisite. Yeah. You see, every one of us should be different from the world. And what they're doing is they're listening to the words out of our mouths. Now you're saying, but our actions speak louder than words. But remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as a man as a man thinks, so he is. So really, who you are is not just your actions. It comes out of your mouth. So by taking our lives and literally allowing the Holy Spirit to convict us, allowing the Holy Spirit to change us, the words of our mouth will be different, and they will be life-giving words that will build people and not destroy them. And when we get a hold of that, we bring a whole new sunshine to the earth. You know, when we sit down in our workplace, they start complaining about the boss, and you chime right in. I want you to know that you're no different from them. That you're speaking death to that company just like they are. You're speaking death to that boss just like you, just like they are. What brings a difference is when you and I live differently and speak differently, because we don't speak the world. We don't speak the diabolical. We speak the word. I said, we speak the word. I said, we speak the word. I can't hear you. I said, we speak the word. It's the word that brings life. The reason Jesus lived in success and the reason that Christ did not fall to sin is because he spoke the word. The more word we speak, the more life we give, the more sunshine we bring, the more light we provide, the more preserving by salt that we give this world. There's a need to know that the very words of our mouths will live, bring life or death on Monday morning. Listen, some of you get on Facebook. Some of you should never be on Facebook. Dear Lord, I don't know why you haven't learned. Don't get off Facebook. Well, I just tweet. Stop tweeting. Take the time you tweet and put it into the word.
Oh, it's Monday morning. I hate Mondays.
Can you just say this with me? Duh. Come on now. How do you think you just seated for your whole day?
Well, I hate Mondays.
Well, they might hate you. But the fact is that this is the day the Lord has made, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, and my words start my day because it is seed for the season to bring forth a harvest and results. Watch your words. Well, I love you to death. No, I don't love you to death. I love you to life. You see, we just throw words around like they don't mean anything. Sticks and stones will break our bones, but names will never hurt me is a lie. The words we speak literally bring life and or death to people and to atmospheres. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Man, you walked into a room and everybody's happy and joyous, and all of a sudden some individual walks into the room and is nasty, just says something nasty and mean, and you can literally feel the atmosphere change. If you've been married long enough, you know what I'm talking about. You're newlyweds. You're in a room and all of a sudden, guess what happens? Your spouse walks in, male or female, it don't matter, you know, whether, you know, it's the opposite sex. We know, you know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, your spouse walks in and gives you a look. It doesn't matter how happy you are. You now know trouble has come. Words are powerful, and I just want to give you some examples. You don't mind me giving some examples for you this morning, right? This is Marge. Everybody say hi to Marge. Hi, Marge. Marge, I want to describe the background for you. This is God's word. And these are nasty, negative, diabolical, and anti-scripture words. And this is real life. We live in a real world. People say, well, you know, God's word doesn't apply. It doesn't apply to today. That's not true. And I'm going to show you this morning. You see, we all have the capability to speak life to somebody or death to somebody. How many of you realize you don't always need to share what's between your ears? How many of you realize you don't always need to share what's between your ears? You can padlock that thing so nothing comes out. So many of us speak our mind. And if your mind is not working in the mind of Christ, then where is it working? If we're not speaking faith, then we're speaking doubt. If we're not speaking life, we're speaking death. Many of us are just shotgunning our world. And we don't recognize that we literally can change the atmosphere at work. We literally can change the atmosphere at home. We literally can change the environment of our family by the words that we speak. We can bring someone to success or bring someone to failure by the words we allow to come out on our tongue. Can I hear an amen? So let's just practice a little bit. You see, Marge wants to be a doctor. It's been a lifelong dream to be a doctor. This has been her passion. She's, oh, you know, she's 55 years old. Forgive me for lying, Jesus. I'm so sorry. She's 52 years old. But keep lying, all right? And so she tells me, I'm her friend. She walks up and she says, you know, I'm 55 years old, and I've always wanted to be a doctor. And I simply look at her and say, Marge, you just need to understand. You know, you've never really been a good learner. You know, I'm not saying you're dumb, but you're not really overly intelligent either. And you need to recognize that maybe being a doctor just really isn't for you. Oh, Marge, come on now. You need to be realistic. You know you don't have any money. How could you be a doctor? You can't go to medical school if you don't have money. You know, Marge, you're a sweet lady. But, you know, I just think you need to be more realistic and recognize that, you know, maybe you should just stay with your art. You know, don't push the envelope. You know, because you'll never really become who you're called to be or who you think you are. You just need a reality check, Marge. How far is Marge getting? Come on, Marge, try. She could not move. We sit back and we don't recognize the power of words. Some of you have had your parents speak death to you. You've had people speak death in your life. And you've sat back and you've said for your entire, you've had a dream that you've stuffed in the corner of your life that you've never pursued because people have spoke death to that. You're in your 40s or your 50s or your 60s, or maybe you're still in your teens and your 20s, and you're thinking, there's no way for me to do it. Listen, that is not the words of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you see, because Marge allowed me to speak death to her, it's not just that words came out of my mouth that were death. But she received them. You need to recognize you don't need to receive anybody's words that are being spoken to you. You are not obligated to listen to them. You are not obligated to hear them. If that is against the word of God, then you simply look at them and you say, listen, thank you for your opinion, but in Jesus' name, and speak the word. Well, you'll never accomplish anything, Marge. She could just simply look at me and she says, you know what? If God birthed the vision in me, there's nothing impossible. You see, we have got to get a tenacity in our spirit that is not just what we speak, but what people have spoken to us. Some of us need to get in our lives and start canceling the death that has been spoken over us. We need to start canceling the words that have been prophesied over us and prophelied over us. We need to get into our lives and grab a hold of what people have spoken and say, in Jesus' name, I cancel the lie. I declare the word. I speak faith and not death. Listen, until you do that, you will always be arrested by somebody else's opinion. Listen, I went to Bible school. I told you this before, but I went to Bible school and they honestly put up bets how long until I got kicked out. I almost got kicked out twice, but besides that, I never did. Amen. Some of us have just believed what everyone has spoken to us. Why are you believing them? Why are you allowing their words to harness your destiny? Why are you allowing the doubt and unbelief to take you in control rather than take the words of God? How many of you believe God's word is above your word? Not everybody raise their hands. I said, how many believe God's word is above your word? That God's word is true. It's not a bunch of nice little statements that we use as Aesop. What is it? Yeah, I don't believe in the fable. I believe in the truth. And the truth shall make you free. It's time to start getting the tenacity in your spirit. But you see, some of you don't know the word of God. You've gotten saved, you love Jesus, but you've never taken rock solid faith. You don't read the Bible. You're not in the Word. So what's happened is when the onslaught of the enemy comes against you, and I want to remind you how he came against Jesus. He came against Jesus with half a truth of the Word in the book of Luke chapter 4. If Jesus did not know the Word, then he would have been overcome and he could not have been the Savior. You got to know the word. Turn to somebody and say, you got to know the word. Come on, you got to know the word. We put so much investment in temporary, foolish things that at the end of the day are not going to matter. Listen, I'm excited for the Olympics, but who gives a flying leap? We've wasted so many hours watching people run and jump. Some of them, that's their vision, glory to God, and they'll accomplish it, and they have, and they've given glory to the Lord. But some of you, it will never be your vision. It's just your television. And some of you are allowing your television to tell you things that are not godly, and you've allowed it to attach to your life and will never fulfill your destiny. Brother, that's tweetable right there. Tweet that one quick. Reset. I want you to meet Marge. Everybody say hello to Marge. Come on, tell Marge hello. Marge has always wanted to be a veterinarian. She's 62 years old. Jesus. 62 years old, has always desired to be a veterinarian, but has never really pursued it. And everybody around her is speaking a little negative and telling her, you know, hey, you know, that's nice, but, you know, Marge, you need to be realistic. But then I got there. And I looked at Marge and I said, you know, Marge, I know what everybody else is saying, but who cares what everybody else is saying? Marge, have you ever heard of Colonel Sanders? At 5 years old, his daddy died. At 17 years old, he dropped out of high school. At 18 years old, he was married. At 20 years old, his wife got rid of him. He ended up getting a job working at a cafe, working in the back grill. And he retired doing that. But guess what, Marge? He borrowed $85 after retirement and cooked some chicken. Presented it. And by 88 years old, he was a billionaire. Marge, if he can do it, and he was a believer, and he was a tither, Marge, you can do it. Your age does not matter. What matters? Did you see her smile? Kind of scared me a little. You know, Marge, if Colonel Sanders can do it, you can do it. And Marge, I want you to recognize something. If God has given you that desire, then God has a plan. And even though it's late in or later in life, the plan is not done. You're not dead. You're not dead, are you? You're not dead. So therefore, I know this. If God's put the vision in your heart, there's nothing that can stop you. And Marge, I know this, whenever there's God's vision, there's always provision, so God will make a way where there might seem to be no way, whether it be through a grant or whether it be through a gift. I just know this, that God is able to provide for you, and watch what happens. You see, when you surround somebody, there's a smile that comes on their face. There's hope and faith that arises within their heart, and then those words, they just carry you to the vision, amen? Reset. This is Marge. Can everybody welcome Marge? Come on, say hello to Marge. Sometimes we don't understand that God's word, no matter how and what it's brought, is life-giving. Marge has an issue. She's living in sin. Not really, but I mean, it's examples. Marge is living with her boyfriend. Now, as her pastor, I walk up to Marge and I say, Marge, I'm concerned for you. I need you to understand, and I know that you don't want to hear this, and I'm not trying to bash you, but I need you to know that the Bible says that we should flee fornication. We should flee sexual immorality. Come on, Bruce. No bad guy on this one. Watch. You know, Marge, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Watch. You know, Marge, right now if you ask Jesus to forgive you, he'll wash every sin away, and you'll start over brand new. And in your walk of obedience, I want you to know that Jesus will always bless your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor, that didn't sound really nice. The words of God always bring blessing and prosperity, even if you don't like to hear them. The truth will make you free. When God speaks to us and corrects us, that is not negative, that is positive. For if we are not corrected by God, then the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we're not his children. So even correction from God is positive because it's God's word. Can I hear an amen? Thank you very much. We're going to end there. Thank you. You can all just stay. Say hello to Marge. You and I have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit that the moment somebody comes and starts speaking death to us, we can look at them in the name of Jesus. Now listen, some people say, well, I don't want to offend them. Why? Sometimes you are a garbage can because you're willing to open yourself to every piece of trash. Well, I just want to be a sounding board. No, you don't. You're a garbage can. I've never smelled a pretty smelling garbage can. When you open yourself up to have somebody come and speak death, whether it's about you, whether it's about them, or somebody else, then you are speaking not life. You are a garbage can, and the garbage that will be in there will be the harvest of the words, and the harvest of the words of death always stinks like death. One of the things I found about motorcycles, you smell a lot of aromas. I love going on the highway towards Big Flats. Why? Because there's the chocolate factory. And when the wind is blowing in the right direction, guess what you smell? Chocolate. And it smells amazing. I love in the early spring riding the motorcycle. And there's a spot over in Big Flats that I go by, and they're all wild roses. I drive by there all the time just simply to smell the roses. And then sometimes you're driving down the highway, and there's a carcass. You can see the maggots moving its belly. And the aroma that is permeating fills your nostrils. If you don't want to experience and smell death, then why are you allowing people to speak death to you? Why are you allowing yourself to speak death to you? It's time to allow the word of God to arise in your spirit. When God's word arises, it brings faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more words you get in you, the more passion you'll have, the more direction you'll have, the more clarity you'll have, the more faith you'll have, the more you'll walk by faith and not by sight, the more you'll see success in everything you touch and everything you do, the more you'll realize there's nothing impossible for those who believe. It's time to recognize that the seeds of my mouth, whether they breathe life or death, are producing that result. The words of my mouth in my own life are producing results. And the words that I allow others to speak to me will also have the same effect. So take a posture of not only watching your words, but not always allowing everybody to speak death to your life. Are you out there this morning? Speak the word. You agree with God. Bible says it this way. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth no sin. But he that refrains his lips is wise. Turn to someone and say, I pray you're wise. Oh, come on, prophesy to them. I know you're wise. That means be quiet. Isn't that a great way to say shut up? I know you're wise. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in every manner of conversation. That means lifestyle. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Every one of you, whether it be your marriage, whether it be your bank account, whether it be your boss, whether it be your friends, No matter what scenario you're in, no matter what circumstance, no matter what atmosphere, you and I have the capabilities of speaking life and or death. And God has given us that authority. When we recognize the authority we walk in, then we don't speak just like everybody speaks. We don't babble like everybody babbles. We don't speak every idle word like everybody else might speak. We're wise with our speech because it will build somebody or destroy somebody. Well, I can't do it. Who? Oh. Can't? Why? Where? Huh? Who? Is that in your vocabulary? I can't? It makes my wife irate. Why? Because we taught our kids there's nothing you can't do. And I know this, whatever my kids touch will prosper. Because there's nothing they can't do. Can't be part of your language. It cannot be allowed in your verbiage. It cannot be allowed to fly around in your head. There is nothing you cannot accomplish. There is nothing you cannot do. For if God is for you, the God of heaven, the one who said, let there be and there was, the one who spoke it into existence, the one who said, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. He is the true God, the one God, the truth of heaven. And when God speaks, it is yea and amen. We just have to receive it or reject it. For how you perceive is how you receive. How you receive is what you'll lay hold of. And it all starts with your mouth. You get saved by confessing. You get healed by your confession. Come on, the word is words. Baptism in the Holy Ghost is using words of the supernatural. Everything you and I do surrounds with words. What are you speaking? Life or death? Bow your heads with me this morning. Today I want to give you the opportunity to change your words. Some of you have damned yourself. Nobody else has done it. You've done it. You might have cheerleaders all around you, but you yourself have spoken such death to the vision that God has placed within your heart. And today you need to change it. You need to change the confession of your mouth. Listen, God never told us to deny the facts. Oh, Pastor, what do I do? If my business is struggling, this is how you handle it. God, I know that this is the reality, but I know that you are the truth. So God, I speak truth to my reality and call those things which are not as though they already are. The doctor comes to you and says, well, you know, you have terminal cancer and you're going to die. You look at the doctor with honor and respect to say, doctor, thank you so much. But I choose to believe the report of the Lord. You don't disrespect. You don't deny reality. But you declare the truth. It's the truth that will make you free, not the reality. It's the truth that makes movement in the supernatural. Not your circumstances. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that with the confession of your mouth, you can go from death to life to salvation. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I don't have a religion for you. I don't have a church for you to join. We don't have a membership here. But what I have is a Jesus, a Word, for He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The reality of the Word of God that will change your life. You will go from no hope to hope. You will go from depression to joy in your spirit. You will go from bondage to freedom. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Come on, get your hand right in the air right now. Thank you, sir. I thank you for your hand. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else in the back? Thank you very much. I see your hand. You can put it right back down, sir. Anybody else this morning, you want Jesus? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, 3. Get your hand up. 2. Last call. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Can we give a hand clap to those who raise their hand who want Jesus in their life? Now I want to talk to the saved. I want to talk to those who know Christ as your Savior. Some of you have abandoned your dreams because of what people have spoken over your life. You have learned to agree with the devil rather than God. And today is the day to switch that. Can I hear an amen? Some of you know what's in your heart. You've always dreamt it. You still dream it. But you've never allowed it to rise because you've always heard the voices of the people or even yourself say you can't. I'm telling you, you can. Because God is able. If God has birthed the vision, he will always bring it to fruition if you move in that direction. Can I hear an amen? With your heads bowed one more time, could I have all of those who have had broken dreams and today want to speak life to their dreams? Man, you've abandoned your dream, but today's a new day. You want to speak life to your dreams and you want God to move in your life today. I want you to raise your hand up as well. Is there anyone else? Y'all, hands are all over the place. I'm going to ask us to move today. Are you ready? I'm going to ask those two gentlemen that raise their hand for salvation, if you'll meet me right here. You can see me. Meet me right here. I'm not going to embarrass you. There's going to be a great crowd coming up. Hallelujah. All those who want their lives transformed, you want your dreams reestablished, I want you to come right on this side. The prayer team and the pastoral team will be here with you. Come on, all those that have abandoned your dreams over on this side. The two gentlemen that raised their hand for salvation, meet me right here, please. Be bold. Come on, get right out of your chair. This is your day for transition. Don't let anybody stop you. This is God's day for you. Hallelujah. Everybody else, are you ready? I release a blessing on the house this morning in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I declare that no sickness has a right to befall your house. I declare in Jesus' name, you will prosper in all things and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Lord, I release a new and fresh hunger for your spirit and the people of God of this house that will hunger and thirst after you. And Lord, we know you will fill us. In Jesus' name, and everybody receiving it, shout it. I said, everybody receive and shout it. Be blessed and enjoy Jesus today.
Speak the word. Bible. We're gonna... that.